Accession number 20587, Reel 8.
Tom O'Brien, Reel 8. So, you went into Germany and then headed for where?
Huh?
Where did you go to in Germany then?
We didn't know where we were going, actually. I mean, all these little places along the way, like, well, not little, I suppose, they're quite what I call. But you're talking about our route to Germany was up toward Bremen and Hamburg, see? And of course, they had the motorways and anything. Well, these are all these intermediate places. Well, one night, just tipping down with rain, and the infantry boys was there. Well, it was the RWF, I think. It was in a farm, and they were going in the morning, they were going to take something. And we were all just tipping down with rain, like, and we was in the barn, and this bloke started up with the mouth open, and he started playing, "This is a lovely way to spend an evening," and just tipping down with rain, and they were going to you got some characters, mind, in the army. I didn't tell you about the night, did I, on the way up to France? That when we stopped in the chateau, and they let they had a, what they call a boiled bow tied up in the centre, and somebody cut it loose. They were charging all the stables, he said. Oh, but the count or whatever he was probably upset.
He was going to eat that one.
Huh?
Was he going to eat that?
I don't know. They got him, but they done it or something. He was the front. They got him. He was a cheeky devil. I know what he was, a baron or something. I know what he was. Or a count or something. Nice place he had there. Mm-hmm. Makes you think, man.
So going back to Germany.
Germany, I back up. Because the trouble is, he remembers things as he can't remember it all. I thought it's good. If it's an author, they could write a book. It'd be nice, though. But, we got further up. I think I remember this occasion when you played this thing. We got, time is going on now, isn't it? Coming up April now, I suppose, isn't it? Towards May, April. And we get near to our objective. We did find out eventually that it was going to be where we were on the outskirts of. There's lots of little places. They talk about Belsen and that, you know. And we talk about these little place, but there's loads of in north, that part of Germany, there's loads of these places where the ghouls were, because we used to go into them, but we had to have all powder over us, and typhus powder, gas skips is all we had, and a bit of stuff over, because the ambulance was there, and you see these people crawling, walking or trying to walk about. God,
so you were there with the ambulances, which had gone to help the people.
Well, it's there. But apart from that, it's not also. She's living in pigsty, Winbrook, in the German farm. We give him the farm. Can't believe it, you know. Belsen, of course, he's on the Belsen, but they put that out of bounds then. But that night, about April the 12th, 13th, we had a special column. I was. And somebody said, oh, it's going to be called the Ghost Column. Ghost Column. What for? I said, you're going to go into Germany. Anyway, that night, we had to penetrate 53 miles into Germany. And no cover, like, you know. We had some of the RAF, some of the RWF and HLIs, and some of the Oxenburg. Only a specially selected group. So I was a charge of bloody traffic, more or less. And we had a breakdown at the rear, front, the column. We had one or two snarls on the way up, because I was all led by somebody already, must have known the route, like we were just down ours, because they were leading. But we came under shell fire a couple of times, some more time. But we got to a place called Western. I can see it now, this place. The village, well, just put a little town. We drove in. There's houses along there. There was a road down in there. It was a like a trial, well, like apex the village green was, and there was a road running along there, a bit of a farm there, wasn't it? So we dived down this way. We did just past the ambulance unit went into this farm place there, and the infantry went down. When we got down by there, there was another opening, then running down to the river. It's like, I think, must have been some sort of like a resort sort of place, eh? You know, in the summer. And we had a bit of rolling grass, and we had a small bridge up on the left. And up on there, they had a bit of rolling countryside. And there was copse or woods up the top, like, you know. No, I don't know. Anyway, the infantry was already across the river, right? The infantry boys. Under some of the arms. And they were going into action. But I pulled up with the breakdown. There's a wall then at the end of the screen. I thought it's a nice place to stop from here. So I crossed up to the wall. But the trouble was, this open area was open right to the riverbank, you know. And we hadn't chance to get out of the cab. We had helmets and things on. And before I looked round, they started shelling. And they were anti-personnel shells. You could see the shells bursting. We all died, of course. Before I looked round, there's seven of us under the truck. We hit the truck on top and burst a couple of wheels, a bit of shrapnel, somebody had them. We had our tams and that hanging in the back of the, you know, the breakdown vehicle. We were stuck under there for hours on an end. We were all shaking like leaves. Good, but all of a sudden, then I don't know, towards evening, the shelling stopped. And the boys are starting to come in with prisoners, about 200 prisoners. They'd used all the shells. And they stayed with us all night, mind, all the Jerrys. And there was a few awkward customers with them, but most of them, we all slept together.
Really?
Yeah, they gave it, but late in April.
What was their attitude? I mean, had they given up?
They'd done what they had to do. They had used all the shells that they couldn't do it for. At that stage of the war, wasn't it? But what annoyed me then, the next day, prisoners was going to be picked up. They send MPs up to trucks, and they were trying to pack these people into it. And some of the infantry boys got quite annoyed then, because these the Jerrys had been helping them, like back across the river. And they were pushing him in like cattle, man. And he was going to show, you know, there would have been a bit of trouble. Him and some of these boys, they must have thought they were Nazis, not there. Because they were going to... I wouldn't have been surprised if someone got shot, tell the truth, that they were, you know, just the action of them. If they'd been there like 2 days, like we were, or something like that, they would have known different, or to act different, like, you know. So... makes you think, mind. Well,
yeah.
It does make you think sometimes. Most eerie feeling I had after that then, we were just outside Hamburg, and not far from Bergedorf, I think it was. And it was just an ordinary plate, I suppose. And we was there, like, and at the time there was quite a strong rumour that we would have to wear gas masks. They might blow, so they had tanks or something, they might blow in Hamburg. Because they were talking about surrendering then. I don't know. And then but this little house next door, where I remember the farm, they were sitting here. And this Martian music came on. We could hear it. Okay. Doom, 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 and all that business, you know, not the V sign, but similar to that, you know. And then all of a sudden the voice broke out. Donuts, it was. The Marshal is dead. The Führer is dead. We thought it might be the end of the war, like, you know, but the Führer is dead. And he was asking these people now in the West to fight on. We were sitting in the room with them. You know, queer feeling, man. And that's where we heard about the death of Hitler. Donitz announcing it. He's taking charge. Asked him to fight on in the West. God, they didn't have hope. At that time, the Russians was nearly, they were nearly up the Elbe. We was waiting across the Elbe for about 2 days to cross. Because we weren't supposed to cross till a certain time or something. So I don't know what was going on. Yeah. We met up with a pack of Russians in the little street there. We had a little bonfire burning in the street. And They give us something to drink. Oh, I never had anything like it in my life. No, the pores of your head opened up, and it's like you could feel the spikes on top of your head. You could have put your hand on top, I'm not exaggerating. And your wife nearly fell out of the water. And then you had to have a kiss of a Russian tank driver woman. Tank crew they were. It had it. Makes you think. The next year the feeling was very heavy. Driving and going into Antwerp. Like we told, we burger up, we stayed there overnight, didn't we? And we went into a district, Wandsbeck. Now it's a big residential area by all accounts of Hamburg, And we drove it, they had to open roadblocks and that, you know. And we never thought for went there a couple of miles and then open roadblocks and we were in a pretty early collar. And never saw a living soul. No, everything was ruined, so terrible. All these buildings, tenements and that. And every now and again you would see something like in the basement, lower down, or somebody peeping out. And what you expected to be was blown up any minute, like in a way, because it's so quiet and eerie. And you're going to, you had to travel a few miles into the most eerie feeling I've had, in a, to tell the truth, in the world. Driving into this big city and not seeing a living soul, you can say not a civilian. And all you do is expect to be blown up. And as you got more towards the center, Borstal area, we went, as it happened, Borstal, I remember that, right? Because Max Mellin lived there, funny enough. And anyway, that's the day after. And my brother was already there because somebody shouted, "Your kid's round the corner," you know, just like that, you know. And you get to know, so I double duck with our vehicle back. Anyway, it rings. See you later, he said, find out where you are. Well, we took over a school. There was a prison camp on the top there, Italians was in it. They wanted to be let out, and some of them had their green and all their feathers on. But somebody opened the hydrant in the middle of the road and gave him a wash. He cheeky devil's bed. Italians. After, you know, look at the cheek of the devil. Like, oh, God. It's comical, though. A radio Hamburg was down the road, not far, from all the horse place, you know. And we was in the schoolroom, and it was only May the 3rd, May the 4th, a couple of days before the war, innit? And next morning, my brother came up with a jeep, and he seen our office there, and as it was, at that time, there were thousands and thousands of prisoners, but we weren't involved at the time. They were all sitting in the road with their hands. They never seen so many prisoners of the war. That's more or less what took me now to the big areas of there. You don't have to do with them, see. But some of the unions are going up towards the Denmark border, because there's quite a lot going on still up there. And I went with my brother, and they'd taken over a cafe. And they were all sitting around the office. They opened up the wine cellar and that. They were looking after that. And they had a guard duty. And then after 48, I think it was a 48-hour curfew, it's like a bank holiday. Everybody come out. You never swim in anything in the lake. And there's a park near there. There was a, I know the name of the park. Right? Not far from the Dundon anyway, so I know that. And they all came out like, and they were on holidays, we weren't.
So who'd come out for the Germans? Who'd come out for the party?
No, the Germans, they came out after curfew was lit. It's like a bank holiday, they all come out from somewhere. I don't know where they came out from, because half the place was just flattened, when it was just devastated in Hamburg, as you know, going through the records. Mm. And
did you talk to any German civilians?
We weren't supposed to, that's the place. We were punished, we had a notice, no fraternisation, mustn't talk to children. Well, who won the war? I think it was terrible. And we all did, not only me. Fancy not being allowed to talk to kids and that, you know, it's so stupid. I was going to... These people that mix these things up, they know they have no connection with the war, or still know the packs of it, or being about in it. Or in a war zone for so many months at the time. I couldn't understand it. That's the facts of life now. And that wasn't lifted till we were well down in in the rower, and that was months after it was there. We stayed in Hamburg till the 6th of June. That was when everybody was enjoying D-Day off or something, but we was on the road then, coming down Schwarzenbruck, Mölln, Mannheim, all the places, Essen and all them places. Oh, they were all flat. We didn't drive through Germany. At the time, we drove over Germany. There weren't no roads. We drove over the city at the time. You had to be there to believe it. You're not looking at pictures. You know what I mean? And when we got down the door, we rat again. We was as I told you, the Americans had been there for a month. Of course, the minute we were there, there's only 40 of us at full strength taking over this part. Our company was outside something. They had a nice big house in the woods or something with the Americans and that. And the main part of the company, the armor company, was down, but the workshops had taken over this, like it's like a garage or something, but it'd be something. There's a factory opposite, like a Novastel production, of course, a fabric and thing. And that's the first time we went in a house for a building for a buffet. We took this place over anyway. As soon as we got there, we got organized things. We had four guards. There were three camps around the district, which had to be regularly inspected. What do you call the people, you know, the...
A displaced person?
No, displaced person, yeah. And poor little. And they're all there. They hadn't been catered for, the Yanks, and there was, you know, the Germans bedded some bodies and that in the lake and all the rest of it, and they're supposed to be cleared. There are all sorts of different things to do. Well, we had to organise all this sort of thing now. We had no... to a police force in the place because they hadn't formed a police force then. You had Jerry's clearing the mines and that from the top of the woods and different things like that. And after a week or so, they started to infiltrate some of the Germans into us through the workshop, see? And they were good. They were all been in Rommel's crowd, some of them. Some have been Norway. They were all tradesmen, they were, like, but they were all either tank goers or things like that. And Desert Foxes crowd, but they were, you know, once you got the, we had a smattering of talking, but it's our job to get them working, like, you know, because once they finished with the minefields, they were under our care, more or less, and so we've got to try now, organise, this is, we've got to organise, some were going to join the police, naturally, after, like, you know, and, but they knew their way around, see, they were from the district as well before, and, I used to go to a 1500-weight truck with them, and we had a spotlight on it, and you had a brain with you, and you have to go around now, and these different farms and down a different area, but they knew their way around. You had a bit of trouble because there's always somebody breaking out, and they always had managed to get a gun or a rifle or whatever. Anyway, we had to go to a farm one night, and there was somebody screaming. It's like a Western, really, looking at it now. Got this farm, pobble thing. We had a wooden thing going up there, just like looking at a western, and a building, like a wooden building with a barrier, like, and this Jerry came out. I don't know who the hell he was, tell the truth. I don't know if he was a Jerry or a Polish Jew or something. He was something from the camp anyway. He started a rape or something, and he started firing. He shouted out, you know, the Jerry shouted out, actually, while we shouted, you know, what smart thing we had of German. And then we put the spotlight on, but he kept using his shots. So he went to answer, then he would douse him. But, you know, it's after the war. It makes you think, like, see.
So what happened to him, sorry?
Huh?
What happened to that German?
Oh, he died, didn't he?
He shot, yeah.
He had... Cherry seat of that, you know, they'd disposed and the old cover, you know, couldn't do much about it.
What were the displaced persons camps like?
Oh, well, they were there, you know, there's running of them, it was, and who was running them at the time, see? I mean, this is the time when, you know, we're talking about, when I tell you, talking about the end of the war, when we went to. When we was in this little village, I said, I thought, town, because it became an English barracks after that, by then, Rottingham. I've heard a lot about it. And So I don't remember seeing a big barracks or anything, because we never looked at that. But we were there for quite a long time. In the moment, when you got to know those kids about, and we weren't supposed to be speaking to these kids, you know. Of course, the kids was after, you know, any soap or anything. And they wanted to wash your clothes. And they were saying, well, I'll take a chance anyway, give him a shirt, just a second-hand shirt, try out. Right, they're back in about an hour and a half, but all I am impressed. The time I was, and the poor kids standing, I'd never had to give it. I used to give bags and I used to give away. I wasn't one of these people. I used to give my brother my fags. I was so stupid at the time. If I'd known about the value of fags and where they're going to be, I could have had one electro, you know. And I could have lived on cigarettes. Tell the truth, none of that. I just have done what I was getting. And we started having them then, queuing up outside. You know, we had two houses joined together as billets. Of course, outside you, there's always swill bins, you know what swill bins are. And the army food, we had all tins, like tinned bacon and that used to be in the more like a liquid form. You had porridge, tea leaves, beans, all in the same thing. And we used to have these kids lined up, taking it in turns, dipping in the swill. I'd ever since had the liquor. And it's been running down in Blanket Street. Talk about the war. These couple of months after the war finished was as bad as any war, with all these people, refugees and that, who sees them now as if it's the first time it's ever happened. It happened on the doorstep. Yeah. All these things you see now, and they make such a fuss, you know, about this and that, and all the do-gooders.
How did all you soldiers cope with these distress of all this?
You know? Especially you married people, you know, with babies. Some took it different to others, like say, but you couldn't. You've got to break rules. Don't get beaten about the bush. You've got to break rules. You've got to, you know, start giving them biscuits or thing there. I had people who worked with me, right? Germans, about 12, and they were all good tradesmen. And once they were working, we got on well. And we weren't allowed to, they wouldn't mark an hour, I think it was Tana, it was that mark at that time. And tobacco, they'd give him, if you had a cigarette, you'd give it to him, like, see, they, but I was only got my only ration because I was dull. I'd given hundreds away to my brother, I believe, because they used to smoke fags. I started smoking a pipe from a Dutchman. He gave them to me. That's the second time we went back to her. We stayed up in, when we came back from the Ardennes, I was up in the loft and it was really bad for about 2 days, like a flu or something. Oh, shivering. I think it's the after effects of coming back from there. Like, you know, I was on duty and I had more or less collapsed. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that happened. I was up in this attic, shivering for about 2 days. And he was a school teacher, some, you know, headmaster. He was in the resistance because it had something to do with him. Taking charges from one of the bridges, you know. And we used to cut, at that time, we cut, you know, long sleeves, those khaki pullovers, you know, we used to cut the sleeves out so they could make socks for the kids, you know, see. And because the only hard brown bread is like very stone. And the meat was, wasn't cooked, it was cured, like, you know, put in your chest, or if you could eat it. But that's in that path. I say, come back to that, but I tell you about these children. And anyway, one morning, there's an entourage come round. Somebody said to me, "Dad, we've got some big noise coming here today, tomorrow." Oh, I said, "Let them come." I said, "Because you get used to generals and what it once you've been in a post, especially when it was a little bit of a lot." And anyway, it was Lord Shorter Dudley taking over as commander of the forces now for Northwest Europe or the Army of the Rhine or whatever they called it. And he comes and he had his orders there with all his, you know, the red ones. And they somewhere important as well. Matthews, I think he was a General Matthews, he was there a lot. And I had denims on. And I used to have, at the time, I had 3 stripes in the crown. And I had in brass, like, you know. And he says, "Well, how do you get these?" how do you manage to get them to work? And I said, ah, that's a problem, isn't it? I said. I said, you seem to get on. Yeah, I said, ah, because we give them rations. We're not supposed to, I said. You forbid it, I said. Actually, you should shoot us or send us home. I said, for being naughty boy. But how do you think we can, how can you expect people to work? If they have no food, I said, there's no competing about the bus. They don't care. We give them hard biscuits, I said, and we give them poking the noles if we got it, because none of us like poking the noles, I said. It's the worst stuff you ever had. They were terrible. They used to have beans in it, and they'd go, never duck. Anyway, he listened to that. He was trying to call his daughters, was there with him, but we walked, you know, into the, it's a pretty big place, this depot, I got. And, he got chatting anyway, in the end, they quite put together, shook hands. And I was general, funny enough. We'd been doing his car up, he wanted to do 90 miles an hour on the Autobahn. And he wanted me, and I had a good German with me, Stephen. He was good, he was a good mechanic. He was a part of the Africa Corps, but he was excellent. And we're going to do this Humber up now. That you to do 90 miles an hour on the motorway, because he says one of his ambition was the motorway wasn't far from us, you know, main motorway. From I think it was from Cologne up, you know, so he was working with me, Stefan. So anyway, I tell you about this episode about the food and that, you know. And he said, well, I showed him, you know, the brown card. You've got, like, no fraternizing and that. We're not supposed to do this. You're not making provisions, he said, for him, you know, to have some sort of food. So we give them some of our own. I said, whether we do right or whether we do wrong. I said, that's the way we are. We leave us in charge of a village or a town or whatever it is. And he's quite, he's a thick, he's a, he had a funny, a strong face. I don't know if you know. Do you remember?
Who is it?
Shorty Douglas.
Oh, yes.
Air command, you know, he had that type of person. He was there. Anyway, we had to, a couple of weeks after, we had an order allowing us a ration of tin of hard biscuits, you know, and so many tins of stew. So that was something that, you know, went through. And later on, or just about that time, they cancelled this order of fraternization. They cancelled about children first, but we always to talk to adults in any case, so, you know, so what are you going to do? Good. We knew as many adults in that place as well, after we'd been a month or so. Well, we were supposed to be rehabilitating it, funny, in a way, like, you know, yeah. What's the point in being here otherwise? But they started breaking up companies then, the companies started breaking up then. Most of these, especially the others, they were territorial companies, see? So they were. So people's getting the mob now, right and left, so the everything was becoming smaller, like, you know, and your unit perhaps would take in 531 or something, as they call it. You either stop there or you go to the next place up Hosel or Kettwick. I don't know if you know those places, do you? No, but they're saying just off them, by the way. And they're all units around that Desert Off area, like, you know, to the East Strip, I suppose. Düsseldorf, of course, we had that was a huge town, wasn't it? I mean, that was like a ghost town, like that was devastated. I've never been back to Germany, to tell the truth, so I don't know what it's like, but they had a quick recovery. Kettwick, that, no, the, well, Thyssen's had a big house there and somebody else, and who gets to talking to people, like, you know, they.
Right, we'll make that the end of Reel 8.
Oh.